This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibaut Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on a Wednesday evening. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
In Game 7 of the 2016 World Series.
Oh.
I'd also then like to say good evening to Don.
So that's, yeah. Oh, well. Oh, yeah.
ENN tonight, sponsored by the WPT Online Borgata Series, powered by Party Poker U.S. Network. Your free $45 satellite entry ticket is waiting. Go to BorgataPoker.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and in New Jersey to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Can we also go back to our moment yesterday with Keyshawn on the show? RJ, I want to hear it again. It's been a long
Buffalo
time.
Bills went out and got who?
Tay Diggs.
Stephon Diggs, because they said everybody.
Sad.
Does it ever get old, though, Michael?
Why is it sad? Explain to me why
it's sad. It's great.
I think it's sad.
See, that's the thing I don't like.
Because you know why I say it's sad? You're not going to like this. Because we're starting to see Don getting older. You know, they're not firing on the same thing.
You think it was a senior moment?
I don't know. I don't know. I have them. I'm not ashamed of it.
Wow. That's not where I expected this.
I mean, you know Tay Diggs doesn't play football. So, I mean, why would you say that?
I'm well aware.
Why would your mouth spit that out?
Because he's the more famous Diggs.
That's not true.
But
listen,
Don,
did you wait a minute? So was that a senior moment when you said hi to Buster Olney, champ?
Yeah.
Oh, that was.
Yeah, you know what? I'm man enough to admit that stuff. I'm 59.
But I would never describe it as sad. I thought it was humorous and fun.
Buster Olney joins us. How you doing, champ?
Now, in all fairness, it was the same day Buster Douglas was on the show.
No, I referred to Buster Douglas as Buster Olney.
No, you didn't.
I did. No, that when I was introducing Douglas, I said, "Here's Buster Olney. What's up, champ?"
Yeah.
I wouldn't
say
champ to Buster Olney. Although I think he's a champ, but I would never say it.
Oh, got it. It was reverse. You were
yes.
So it was when he was in studio. You looked
yes,
him in the
I
face
looked
and
right at him,
Buster
and I saw Buster Olney. Yep.
And 15 years ago, whatever it was, when you congratulated Joe Maddon on a hat trick. That was a senior moment?
Yeah. I'm not as sharp as I was when I was 20.
But you were 47
happened?
At the time. Michael had the pre-tape. John Maddon of the Devils, who had a hat trick against the Rangers the night before. And Joe Maddon, the manager of the Rays. So when we had John Maddon on. No, it was Joe. So we have Joe Maddon on. He thought it was John Maddon because they were taping the same... It's the same hour, and he asked Joe Maddon, what's it like to score a hat trick?
But that's not even fair. Why are you even interviewing two Maddons in the same hour? I blame Ryan Hurley, who was producer at the time. That's ridiculous. That's too many Maddons, and neither of which are John or Steve Maddon? Come on. That makes me Maddon. You know what? I'm going to move on.
I liked it, but I did.
I thought mentioning John and Steve was important.
So now I've got to spend the rest of the night, Peter, thinking that maybe I'm losing it. Instead of just having a little fun and I had a brain fart, I'm now possibly losing it.
The fact that you use that phrase tells you you're losing it. You're not supposed to say that on the air.
Brain fart?
Yeah.
You
both did
it now. That's not something you can't say on the air.
Okay, if that's what you feel.
Wow, the rules you've made up, it's something else. Let's hear from Doc Rivers. He was not happy after the Game 7 loss to the Nuggets last night.
I thought we had so many opportunities over the last three games to win. But listen, you got to give Denver credit. They kept playing. They kept executing. They kept playing together. You know, so right now, just disappointment. You know, honestly, I thought you could just see the difference in the two teams. That team's been together. We haven't. And you can see it as the games went on. They just knew each other so well. I thought offensively, even though I mean, listen, we had great shots. I mean, great shots all night. I still didn't think we trusted. You know, we did at the beginning of the game. We did coming out of the third quarter. We got a 7-point lead. But right when they put pressure on us, you know, honestly, I just thought we didn't come through.
I think that's weak. Talking about chemistry that they've been together. You're up by 16 points with a chance to close it out. You're up by 19 points with a chance to close it out. That's when the chemistry kicked in? Come on. They had no plan. Come on.
You know what I worry about with Doc? Well, he's got to fix the way he talks. It's like
a lot of coaches do that. I mean, PJ does too, because they're screaming all the time. They've ruined their voice box.
So is that what it is? It's because they're screaming. They don't. It sounds like when they're even talking regular, like it's this strain to talk regular.
It is. They've destroyed their vocal cords by screaming. I mean, one of the I forget who it is. It might be. John Calipari, he has a terrible problem with his foot because he's always smashing his foot down to get the attention of the players. These guys are maniacs.
They really are some of the most insane people who've ever lived. I'm serious. Hardcore coaches of teams are the craziest people in the world. It's a game.
But it's their life.
It's a game. It's like... I understand. I mean, you know, I do. But it's just so... It's just strange.
I mean, the people that own, like, Six Flags Great Adventure...
I hear where you're going.
It's their business. They take it very seriously. People there have fun, but that's how they make a living. So don't...
But you know for these coaches, it's not just about how they make a living. It's the competitive craziness. It's not about that they need it to get a check. It's that they need to win so badly. I'm not begrudging them. I'm just saying they're out of their minds.
That's nice of you to say.
Let's hear from Paul George, who
PG-13, they call him.
Yeah, who he played PG-13. Yesterday he wasn't playing rated R, that's for
right,
sure.
They wanted an X-rated Paul.
They wanted NC-17. They got PG-13. It might have just been PG. But here is PG saying 2020 wasn't title or bust for the Clippers.
It's obvious pressure, you know, to live up to the title expectations. But as a player, I mean, you want that. Like, you want that. Again, it's the first time I've been in that situation where we're expected to win. But, you know, it is what it is. It's no cop-out. Fact of the matter is we didn't live up to that expectation. But I think internally we've always felt this is not a championship or bust. You know, we can only get better the longer we stay together and the more we're around each other. The more chemistry for this group, the better. I think that's really the tell of the tape of the season. We just didn't have enough time together.
All right, how about this, Peter? They don't win next year. How quick is Kawhi Leonard out? So they don't have that much time together.
Well, so far from what we've seen, I don't know, though. I mean, is it possible Kawhi's looking for a more permanent home and Los Angeles is the place that he's down to do it?
I have no idea.
When was the last time you talked to him?
Right before this series.
See, do you hear what he said there?
We had some laughs.
Listen closely to what Kawhi says here about whether or not he would stay in Los Angeles. Do you hear that?
I wonder if he has any regrets not going to the Lakers. And the Lakers, it's a much cooler looking uniform.
They're trying too hard, man, over there with the uniforms.
Who?
But the cryptic heavy metal.
Oh, hate it.
Lettering.
Hate it. Awful uniform.
Who?
The Clippers.
The Clippers.
You described it as cryptic heavy metal? Look, I didn't know think about it that way.
It's awful.
Well, how would you say, what kind of font is that?
Let me take a look at it again.
Like, if I had a name of a band called them, like, Death Grip, that's the lettering I would use.
By the way, you would have a band called...
That is the lettering for AC/DC, right? Essentially. Yeah.
Oh, you know what, Don? You know where I would go with it, actually? And I think it might be more of a play on this. I'd go more with, like, a Mexican-American... sort of East LA style that they're going for.
Okay. It fails. Whatever it is, it fails.
Wow.
Like trying from the movie hard. Machete.
There you go.
Okay.
That's what I think they're trying to do there, but it doesn't look like it should be on a uniform. for some reason. All right, let's hear from Jamal Murray. You know, there's a team that the Clippers played. It wasn't just the Clippers losing.
They
lost to a Nuggets team that now, this is basically the second or third year, depending how you want to look at it, of having one of the best tandems in basketball between Jokic and Jamal Murray. Let's hear from Jamal Murray, who says, you better start respecting this Nuggets team.
You got Shaq, you got Charles, you got, I think Zach Lowe's the name, I don't even know, Stephen A., all y'all better start giving this team some damn respect. Because we put in the work, and we got a resilient team, and we shouldn't have been down 3-1, but you know, to come back from 3-1 against the Clippers, you know, it was a big achievement. So it's fun just to, you know, change that narrative. Y'all can start changing the narrative and looking at us in a better light.
I tell you what, it never ceases to amaze me how they care what we say about so much. Stephen A., why do they care what Stephen A. says? It's amazing to me.
Well, why would you not care, though? Well, he's the loudest.
These guys are NBA players. What do they care what people are saying about them? Just
you gotta stop, Michael. You sound like a crazy person.
Huh? Don, am I wrong?
Don, you know where I'm going?
But here's the thing. Remember Keyshawn yesterday was like, I don't pay attention to what people say. I believe in myself. I don't care what people think. But not everybody is like Keyshawn Johnson.
And by the way, if we were to go back in history, I guarantee you there were times where Keyshawn talked trash about someone in the media.
And I think that they play mind games with themselves. They really do. They're trying to amp themselves up that they've been disrespected. But who cares what somebody says on SportsCenter?
But you now listen. I'm giving you credit. You've taken a lot of steps forward, and you don't care as much as you used to. But there are plenty of people who would say you are the voice of the New York Yankees. You're the number one talk show host in New York,
world.
And you still care about what random yo-yos say. So how can you not relate to the players who care about what Stephen A. says, and he's no random yo-yo? That's Stephen A. Smith.
All right. I'm going to tell you why. Because I know the business that I'm in, and I think that there are weak-minded, not my bosses, but there are weak-minded executives, okay, that are influenced by what somebody will write or say in a blog or a newspaper. There is not one NBA general manager that is making a decision of personnel on what Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, or Stephen A. Smith say. Not one.
But wait a minute. All right. Didn't you see what happened to Chris Russo not too long ago? Right? All the players jumping him for what he said in MLB.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know why? Because MLB Network's probably on in every clubhouse in Major League Baseball. So they see it. I mean, I went through it when I did NHL Live on the NHL Network. Some things I'd say or EJ would say would get picked up because what do the players have in the room? They have the NHL Network on.
And you don't think there's any impact?
And you're telling me that in an NBA room they don't have ESPN on? And they go, let's see what Stephen A. has to say.
There's a summer, and when free agency in the summertime is getting discussed, and Stephen A. comes on and goes, let me tell you something right now about Jamal Murray. He's a bum. He can't win the big game. You don't think any of that has any impact because
on NBA on talent evaluators? No.
No,
maybe
but
not the evaluators, but the owners and just the people who aren't the evaluators.
I don't. I'm sorry.
But here's the other aspect of it too. Right? The Nuggets aren't in LA. All right, they're not in New York. They're not in Chicago. I mean, they're the Denver Nuggets, so they can play that whole, you know, nobody believes in us because we're the Nuggets. Everybody loves the Clippers. Everybody loves the Lakers. You know, and so they're kind of using that is just let's mess up everybody's party. And I'm sure that's going to be the motivation. Nobody's going to give us a chance against the Lakers. Everybody's going to think we're going to get swept. It's all just a way to kind of pump yourself up.
But isn't it also interesting? They were down 3-1. These guys were down 3-1 to Utah. They were down 3-1.
It's all gobbledygook. It doesn't mean anything. You want respect? Go out there and beat the Lakers.
Right.
Because you know what? I'm going to have whatever I thought about you before the series against the Clippers, I'm going to think about you if you get swept by the Lakers. All right? Getting to the conference final is only halfway home. I know it's special. I know it's the Final Four and all that. But, Michael, if they get swept by the Lakers, are you going to pay Denver any mind?
No.
But hold on. I'm with you, Don. But then on the flip side of that coin, I have no problem. If Jamal Murray feels this way and they go on to beat the Lakers in the finals, I don't mind if the first thing Jamal Murray gets on the microphone and screams is in your face, Stephen A. Smith or whoever.
But that's different. You just won your conference in shocking fashion. But you're a team that obviously has got a little bit of an issue here because you came back from 3-1 in that special. You had to come back from 3-1 against Utah.
All right? So go out. Now listen, I'm with you. If you lose in seven to the Lakers, you could bang your chest and say, hey, listen, we've arrived. But if you get swept away by LeBron James and you're non-competitive, then why should I think anything differently of you than what I thought of you going into the playoffs? They've been a good regular season team.
Fair.
Right? So what have you – it's crazy because we've been watching so much sports here and the playoffs seem so long. I go through it the NHL too. You're only halfway home now. That's crazy, but you're still only halfway there.
I know.
You know how many teams made it to the conference finals that really – you look and go, oh, that was it. Look what happened to Portland. They were in the conference final last year. What happened?
Nothing.
It took a miracle and a pandemic for them to just get into the playoffs.
Bam Adebayo yesterday had one of the great blocks in NBA history. And it was an incredible game one between the Heat and the Celtics. And here's Bam with SVP last night about the intensity of the series with the C's.
Yeah, we're not backing down from each other. That's the bottom line. You know, our two franchises have history, so we're going to go to the clock hit zero and then figure it out from there. But great win for us, and I'm proud of this team. You know, like you said, we was down, and we fought back. And that's what shows this grit about this team.
You know what? I think from now on, because of that block, you know how, like, when somebody hits a big shot, long range, it's bang? Any block from now on moving forward must be referred to as Bam.
Or at least when he does it.
No, everybody.
Oh.
There was a bang that Mike Breen had last night that if you were a Clippers fan would have made you just take a bat to the wall. I think the lead was like, Don, were you watching at the way end?
Yeah.
It was like 18.
Yeah. Oh, but that was the three from like
from Murray. It was the Jamal Murray falling away three. It was.
It was a Curry three. That's what I thought of.
It was
a Curry three.
It was a ridiculous shot, but they were already down. It was already so clearly over, and he was just excited because it was a ridiculous three. And if I was a Clippers fan and I heard one more bang when it was already 19 points, I might have ran out of the house.
But that was, I did not think, and I'm not defending our guy here. I thought it was appropriate.
No, it was. It was a real dagger, but it was already over.
That finished them. That was the last nail in the coffin.
It was such a well-earned bang.
Shot.
You think it was a well-earned bang?
Yeah, well-earned bang.
I've heard that before.
People work hard for that bang.
Now,
you know, Mike limits the bang. He doesn't bang on all those shots. It's got to be he tries.
How many bangs a night?
He tries to give you one or two bangs a game. That's it.
Good for him. You know, I think one or two a week is impressive for some people. Now, This story to me is fascinating. And I'm sure you both have already seen it because you consume everything. But
well, I do.
When this came across my timeline, I was
That was so uncalled.
Don only consumes everything. Don only consumes everything if it's served with buffalo chicken.
But I think he was trying to angle that I don't work as hard as he does.
No, I know what he's saying. And that is
smart. I don't have to dance around that. That's the truth.
Now,
I mean, you work hard, but nobody works as hard as me.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Maya Moore paused her WNBA career, her Hall of Fame career, in February 2019.
Wait, you're a Moore?
Maya Moore.
Oh, Maya Moore. Okay.
That's what I thought, Michael.
Yeah, like, I'm saying, what is he talking about?
Oh, you thought I was saying, like, I adore Mia Moore, the Color
Me
Bad vehicle?
No, I thought you were talking about somebody, a love of yours, Maya Moore.
Yeah, like Maya Moore. Like,
no,
like,
I understand. Maya Moore.
Thank you.
Paused her Hall of Fame WNBA career in February 2019 to help turn over the wrongful conviction of Jonathan Irons. And she really was lauded, and I'm not saying this is wrong, but kind of lauded as a hero for her commitment to this. And then she made an interesting announcement on Good Morning America earlier.
We wanted to announce today that we are super excited to continue the work that we've been doing together, but doing it as a married couple. So we got married a couple months ago, and we're excited to just continue this new chapter of life together.
Now, I'm happy for them. Good for them. That's amazing. But you have to admit, it does change the narrative a little bit. Now, did they fall in love coincidentally after everything happened? Or was she putting her life on hold to get her boyfriend out of jail? Do you see what I'm saying? It's a different story.
That's a good point. But there was no...
Good for her either way. I mean, listen, it's your top priority either way. I don't care if it's your top... No matter what, it's a great and worthy cause. But there's a difference between you stopped your career for justice and you stopped your career to save your man. It is a different thing.
But that's an
easy
thing
to check out. I'm fascinated by this story.
Was there any evidence that they had a relationship prior to the decision to leave?
I know nothing. I do not know the. I just find the.
Can
story
I have that as a drop, please, RJ? Please for future.
That was a good. That was a good spot by you. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I just find the story very.
But
awesome.
I think the angle though that Peter's trying to create here, and it's true, is that it's still an amazing story, and what she did was incredible. But it doesn't seem like as much a sacrifice if it was for somebody that you already loved.
For example, let's flip the story.
If she did it, think of the story. It's a movie. She gives up her WNBA career to help a total stranger, and during that process, falls in love with him, and they get married.
Right. That's
an amazing story.
Amazing.
But it's a nice story. If her boyfriend is in trouble, she quits to save him. It's a good story. Not equally as good. But
now
it's
listen,
a good story.
They couldn't. It's they obviously met at some point while he was gone because he was sentenced in 1998. So I'm guessing she got involved first, and then they happened to fall in love. But let me just frame this in another way. I tell you guys, I've gotten really involved in social justice, and in fact, I am quitting the show because I am working full-time to get someone out of jail who was falsely convicted, and it's just wrong. And you guys go, wow, oh my God, this is a sacrifice. How will we continue on? You're the reason, my God. And you're very impressed. Then I walk up to you and I go, the case is complete. You see the picture. And I go, I want you to meet Sarah, the woman who I sprung from jail and spent the last couple of years with. And she looks like Rihanna. And I'm like, oh, by the way, we're a couple. Your thought completely changes. You go from thinking I'm a hero to thinking I'm a hero for a different reason altogether.
Now, Donna, you like me right here because after he said he's leaving the show, I didn't hear anything else.
You were fantasized.
Oh, my goodness. I'm thinking, Donna and I continue to do this alone. Are they going to force another person on us? Everything else was like Charlie Brown's teacher after that.
Well, I thought you were going to say is that Peter's already fantasized about this because, boy, did he have the words we would have said. Like,
yep.
So in his fantasy, this is how we would have reacted.
It's a really good point. I know nothing. Let's go to Brett Favre, who's on Sirius XM The Blitz.
That's Favre.
And he does not love Bruce Arians' tact with Tom Brady.
I think the last person you want to call out after the first game of the year is Tom Brady. Maybe they had a mutual truce going into the game, going into the season. Hey, you know, I'm going to be hard on you. I want the guys to know that we're going to treat you the same, even though technically I'm not. So are you okay with it? If they have that truce, great. If not, I think you're barking up the wrong tree. Dissension could easily enter quickly. Maybe the Saints didn't do anything that they were not ready for other than we didn't protect very well. Tom gets hit a couple times. You get a little jittery. It happens. They clean up the protection. The timing, the chemistry will come. Will it come overnight? I highly doubt it, but it'll come pretty quickly, though. And they very easily could be 4-1 after 5 weeks.
Didn't I tell you that, though?
What? Which part?
That he I couldn't believe the stuff that Arian said after the game about Tom Brady.
I guess I didn't. the clip we played, I wasn't. I know well, it was critical. I didn't find it as critical as everyone else is saying.
That's what's going. I was just exactly the same thing you just said, Peter. Based off of the clip you played yesterday, I didn't think it was nearly as harsh. Now maybe that was just.
But find
one of many
any
things.
Clip in history where Bill Belichick ever said anything that antagonizing about.
Give me a clip that time Bill said anything.
Right. So that's my point. I mean. Brady used to think that Bill was hard on him, I guess in meetings, but he never, ever ripped him publicly. Bruce Arians did.
He didn't rip him, though.
He did.
I got to go read more.
There's
got to
be more than that clip. If we can find the clip from yesterday, all he did was just say, hey, listen.
You guys still in love with Bruce Arians from when he was in the studio.
I was a big fan.
Could we, honestly, based off of the clip, did you hear anything else other than the clip?
No, just I heard his entire post-game screed, and he didn't protect Brady. He said made a mistake.
Why does he got to protect him?
He's been protected his whole career, so
by the way, Bruce responded to Favre and said, Tom and I are fine. I don't really care what other people think, so it's just what he and I think. We left the stadium fine. We showed up today fine. There ain't nothing to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Threw a pick six. He didn't play great.
No, he didn't, but his coach doesn't have to say it. He's Tom Brady.
So Bill's bad because he never says anything. Arians says something, which is the absolute truth, and he gets
I'm
ripped.
Not saying, hey, what Arians did is great for the media. I'm saying his relationship with Tom Brady. Don't get me wrong. I hope he continues to pound him week after week. It's not going to be good for their relationship, but it'd be great for the media.
Let's hear the audio we have of Arians from Monday.
You know, he's had it before. I mean, he knows how to bounce back, and he knew he didn't play very well. And it's not what he expects from himself, nor do we expect. So yeah, I would anticipate him to have a little more grit and a little more determination this week.
How do you guys not hear that? He's never been criticized like that, ever.
Well, that wasn't the clip we played yesterday.
This was from Monday.
That was a different clip. But I don't know if I'd call it ripping, but it was something.
But you have to – it's about who they did, though. Tom Brady. It's not like he ripped somebody else. It was Tom Brady.
But Brett Favre may be right, that Tom went to Tampa and maybe Bruce said, listen, this is the way I coach. I'm very honest. I love you. I think you're a Hall of Fame player. But to me, you're a member of a team, and I'm not going to hold you to a different standard than anybody else. And Tom be like, all right, that's great. I love it.
Well, you're right. If that was said, then I take it back. If it wasn't said, I think it's somewhat peculiar.
I think very beyond protecting Tom. I mean, I think he would admit that he played poorly.
I think people that good looking must be protected. I've always said it.
And that's what you prioritize. By the way, that'll do it for ENN on this Wednesday evening.
Beautiful.
You get a talking to or something. These things are much shorter than they've been.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.